Like every Monday night, you're checking out Breakfast Soup Raw. Enjoy as Don Tony spills the soup about pro wrestling, sports, news, and pop culture. Breakfast Soup Raw. Breakfast Soup Raw. And now, your host, Don Tony.
Hey, good evening, everybody. Yes, I am solo tonight. Well, actually, I'm not solo because I have you, my great family out there hanging out tonight. Raw just ended. I want to welcome you to this edition of Breakfast Soup Raw. Don Tony here. Just to let everybody know right off the bat, I got a DM from Mish at 8 o'clock tonight that he had to do something with his significant other and couldn't make the show. So it's all good. It's all good. We have some very important topics to talk about tonight. If I sound a little bit off, I'm not going to lie to you, and you know I will always show you proof to back it up. Literally 10 minutes before Mish sent me a DM that he couldn't be on, I fell down a small flight of stairs in the house. And it was my doing because I got these oversized slippers that I wear in the house. And, you know, my lady is staying over tonight. So we ordered a little dinner. And I went to walk down the stairs to answer the bell. And I put the flimsy big slippers on like a bad cartoon took a big dive. My ankle is like this right now. And I'll take a picture tomorrow when it's all bruised and everything like that so you know I'm not making it up. But I am in so much pain right now. And that's why, like, when I fell, I said, oh, well, at least, you know, I'll ask Mish to, you know, pick up a little slack tonight. But it's all good. It's all good. We're going to have a fun show. I'll be good. Speaking of good, man, I appreciate each and every one of you out there. Believe me when I tell you, I know that not everybody... Well, not everybody could do that. But I know not everybody could do that. And Lascelles, I can't thank you very enough for your generosity. $200 super chat. And why? Just for being honest and being real. And look, we're going to talk about Raw tonight. We're going to talk about Hannibal, what he did to that referee. I know a lot of you out there remember me ragging on this guy 10 years ago and constantly ragging on him. Go figure, 2 months ago, I finally give David Nicholson a little bit of slack. Joe Punches, thank you very much for the two spot, my friend. I plan on having a fun. It's always a fun night here, and I'm not kissing ass. You know, I know straight up real discussion is not sexy. You know, there's a lot of other methods out there, and that's cool. Whatever, you know, floats people's boats, that's fine. Now, who am I to criticize that? I can only speak for me. But, you know, as far as, you know, tonight goes, we got a few topics to get into. But I want to open up with the Jeff Hardy situation. Because Matt Hardy was on Twitch tonight. For a while. In fact, he did the one chip challenge, which was pretty hilarious. Now, I'm a little pissed off. I got to be honest with you. I am freaking pissed off about Matt Hardy's one chip challenge because last year we did it on my birthday. The video is here on YouTube. And we didn't do any 5-minute thing that, you know, you can't eat or drink anything for 5 minutes and then you can chug all you want. You know, I mean, yes, I ate a pint of keto ice cream and drank tons of stuff, but, you know, we let this simmer for like 20, 30 minutes. Painful. I mean, I would have drank a gallon of water 5 minutes later if I was able to, but it's all good. It's all good. Look, obviously the one chip challenge was not the big news at hand. Matt Hardy talked about Jeff today and talked enough that a lot of websites are already putting up quotes of what Matt Hardy said. Jeff Hardy made a quick pre-recorded cameo, little tongue-in-cheek humor, And look, I'm not going to read you word for word of what Matt Hardy said. But, you know, I'll say it like this. You know, like what Lascelles wrote in his super chat. You know, he really appreciated that I stood by my original thoughts, kept it real about the mental battle. And those like Jeff Hardy and Lascelles' father that suffer for it, it's a lifelong battle. Now, of course, when we talk about lifelong battles that you don't physically have to relapse, but you can just, that temptation, that pressure, and Jeff Hardy trying to wrestle as if he's 25 years old and having the bumps and the bruises and the psychological pain. And, you know, look, it's not just physically makes you feel better to grab a drink. You know, you work hard. You remember the old beer commercials? You worked hard. This Bud's for you. Yeah, remember all the Budweiser spoof commercials that we used to play? Bud Light celebrates. You know, you work hard. You're tired. You had a long day. You go to the bar, happy hour, you have a drink. It relaxes you. It kind of numbs your nerves, the pain signals to the brain. There is a chemical reason why we all have some drinks. But for someone who battled addiction, you know, a little shot is not always manageable. It spirals out of control. And I sat back for 5 days. I watched people like me keeping it real. I don't want to be first. I want to be right. I saw people out there that truly clickbaited that he intentionally got himself fired so he could go to AEW, claimed that he looked like he was under the, remember what I said Thursday? I thought it was so wrong for Mike Johnson to write that he was in rough shape. Rough shape. Because what's the first thing you think of when somebody uses the term rough shape with Jeff Hardy? Relapse. Drugs, alcohol. Well, Matt Hardy tonight on Twitch said that he feels that WWE jumped the gun with Jeff Hardy. He also said that WWE drug tested Jeff Hardy after that incident. Now, if you think about it, it had to have been that night. Jeff, before you leave, leave a sample. You think they're going to let him go back to the hotel and then pee in a cup the next day? I mean, remember what I said Thursday? I said, look, man, it looks almost symbolic, him jumping the guardrail, walking out with the fans. Not one fan who interacted with him said, I smelled alcohol. His eyes looked shot. Not one person said that, except for people who are trying to clickbait for hits, likes, and views. And you don't play around with that. If you, and we brought this up too, if you were that upset at WWE using Jeff's addiction in a storyline, which Matt and Rebby talked about tonight, how fucked up it was. But if you were that outraged about WWE using real life addiction for a storyline, number one, how would you have felt if Jeff Hardy used a real life addiction and he wasn't under the influence and used that as an out? That's bad. What about the people out there that went with that as clickbait for their articles, their shows, whatever it is? It's just as bad. You don't joke about addiction. You don't joke about the mental anguish, the mental pressure. It is a lifelong illness. And we've talked about it with other people in wrestling. We've talked about it with Jimmy Uso. We talked about it with Tammy. We talked about it with Kurt Angle, Jeff Jarrett, and it goes down the line. We've also talked about it with some of your family and relatives, mostly on Patreon. That's not a topic that you use AEW. And the sick thing about it was I watched people online saying, don't bring up AEW with Jeff Hardy. Just think about Jeff Hardy. And yes, that all sounds all good and everything until when it's time for their own articles and their own shows and their own podcast. You know, what if blah, 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 blah. Do you think blah, 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 blah? you know, could it be possible that blah, 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 blah? If you don't want, remember what we said Thursday? How many people out there were writing, I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong about Jeff. Well, you didn't have to be wrong. You don't jump the gun. And that's the stance that you took, I took. Everything that Matt Hardy said tonight was what we talked about for 3 or 4 days. We never had to change it. We never had to rephrase it. We never had to tweak it. Jeff Hardy is happy now. He's in a better place. Matt Hardy earlier today, and Lissell, thank you very much again. I don't know if it's Lissell or Lascelles, but thank you very much again, my friend. But earlier today, Matt Hardy posted a photo. I want to show it to you. This photo was over the weekend. And you could see for yourself all of these people online that simply because Jeff Hardy is smiling, oh, Jeff, he definitely lied so he could team up with his brother and go against the Young Bucks and go to All Elite because he's smiling. That's not the face of someone who relapsed. That's not the face of someone battling physical and mental pain. That's the face of someone who tried to get out of their contract and now is out of their contract and he is happy as a pig in shit. That's what I read today all over the place before Matt Hardy went on Twitch. I made a little remark on Twitter and I never thought of it before and I don't even think this is a phrase. I don't think it's a famous phrase. Maybe I just created a famous phrase. But what I said is just because you're smiling doesn't mean you're lying. Seriously, just because you're smiling doesn't mean you're lying. Jeff Hardy, I thought it was so symbolic when he jumped the guardrail and left into the audience, like an everyday person. Didn't want to deal with the bullshit in the back. Remember when we talked about Thursday? Can you picture it? Jeff, we want you to go into rehab. Why? I didn't do anything. Even if Jeff wanted to have a drink after the show, that's his right. You know, whether you battled addiction or not, if you feel you can manage it, that's your right. And what did Matt Hardy say on Twitch today? Jeff Hardy was drug tested. And I'm sure it was a piss test. And they're going to check for drugs and alcohol. And Matt Hardy said that he had some very serious talk with his brother. And Matt Hardy is convinced that test is going to come back clean. Going to come back clean. So the more you read about this, and Matt Hardy today talking about, and I should mention this too, Matt Hardy said that Jeff Hardy is going to, soon enough, explain to everyone what happened. Now, on the flip side of this, and we got to be fair, we got to be fair on these shows, I said, you know, Jeff Hardy's side of this may not necessarily be the entire story also. You know, we don't know exactly what WWE said and did. So we'll never know truly every little aspect of this. But when Matt is talking about Jeff wanting to do his music again, doing a little bit of cameo stuff, doing a little appearances, take a little of this, do a little of that, hang out over here, do this, this, that. You know, the guy, it sounds more and more of what we said all along. The guy had a breaking point. And the pressure of delivering at his age. He ain't 30 years old anymore. You know, I give Matt Hardy credit too. He also talked about when Jeff fell off the wagon in 2019 that WWE helped Jeff tremendously with his rehab. But this time around, they felt Jeff had no problem. That says a lot. That says a lot because their kids are growing up. They're going to know about all this soon enough. And especially as responsible parents that they are, I don't doubt for 1 minute that what was said tonight on that stream is anything but the truth. So what you're finding out now is that everything, a gut feeling, might not have been the most popular stance to take. It might not have been controversial. It may not have drawn 10,000 likes, views, hits, but it was the honest and legit and authentic reaction that we all took. And usually, if you go with your heart and your instinct and not that temptation of clickbait and twisting it and what if, what if, what if, what if, again, I leave you with this and we'll move on. For everybody that said, I hope I'm wrong about Jeff, you didn't need to be wrong about Jeff. You chose to be wrong and chose to walk the fine line and cross the fine line because no one knew the truth. And it was basically covered up with, I hope I'm wrong. Blah, 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 but I hope I'm wrong. Well, you were. You were. And little by little, I think people are going to get sick and tired of being manipulated, of being lied to, of being teased, simply because it draw. How many people use that as the big bait to get into the shows? And three quarters of what all these people said to you the last 3 days was wrong. How many times is this? When Mia Yim came out and said, you know, now you know the truth about Keith Lee. Can we all really try to like change in the future and not assume? Didn't change anybody. Didn't change a goddamn person. The only people that took notice of it are people that truly want to know the facts. So, that's my Matt Hardy, Jeff Hardy comments for tonight. If you want, go check out Matt Hardy's Twitch, and you can see everything that he said tonight. Rebby is on there as well. Beth is Jeff's wife. And eventually Jeff Hardy will talk about it. I expect Jeff to go on Matt Hardy's Twitch soon enough and talk about it. I don't expect Jeff to really go out on his own. I think with his brother and, you know, they're older people now. You know, I really got to give nothing but props and respect for Jeff Hardy for truly, you know, fighting the good fight. And, you know, it's if people out there thought it was wrong for WWE to jump the gun, well, it was wrong for those people to jump the gun as well. So Joe Punches says, thank you for the five spot, my friend. Jeff has not been moved to the alumni section, not officially released from WWE. He's got to be gone. I mean, he's gone. Just because, and let's also remember, a lot of people that WWE did release this year, they never made a statement. You go and you look. You know, we all read it on social media accounts. Not every single person got the statement from WWE. And to be honest with you, I think WWE would rather just sweep it under the rug, just pretend like Jeff just disappeared. You know, write them off storylines, move on quickly. That's why even Friday with RK-Bro being on SmackDown, you know, I said, you know, it felt like the original plan was Drew McIntyre and Jeff to be that third team. And with Jeff suddenly gone, you got to do an audible. And we also got an audible tonight as well. And I'm getting timestamps ready. So if you see me looking down and writing, you know, like I said, I was not prepared to have a solo show tonight. But, you know, obviously, you know, I would have loved to have a serious convo with Mish about this. But tomorrow we got Patreon. So Mish said he'll be good to go tomorrow. So we'll be on there. Not using it as a selling point, but if you want to go check it out, we'll be live tomorrow at 10. And remember, I will not be on Wednesday night. I have my heart procedure Thursday. So I already booked a hotel room in Roslyn, Long Island, and I will be staying in a hotel. I'll probably take a couple of selfies in the room, but I'm going to stay in the hotel room the night before. This way I'm 5 minutes away from the hospital. So when they say, DT, you need to be here at 6 or 8, or 10, whatever it is Thursday, I know I'm 5 minutes away. I don't have to get stressed out over rush hour. So, another audible tonight. Another audible. We were supposed to have the finals tonight in the RK Bronament. Oh, by the way, you like my RK out of nowhere shirt? Now, I realized when I was going through my shirts today, because I was looking for a Jeff Hardy shirt. I know I have them, but I have so many shirts that I have not worn in years. Like a lot of them are still in boxes. I couldn't find it. But But I found this one. I was like, oh, shit, I never wore this one on the shows. But we were supposed to get the Mysterios versus the Street Profits tonight and the winner to determine who was going to face RK-Bro at day one. Now, some people are speculating that maybe one or, you know, one person or maybe more got COVID, and that's why it was scrapped. You know, conveniently, that semifinals match will take place in 2 weeks. My honest opinion on it is we don't know if somebody got hit with COVID or not. It's going to happen in 2 weeks. I personally think, if you ask me, I personally think that with day one being 3 weeks away, that they started this bronament too early because, let's say, whoever would have won tonight, whether it's Street Profits or Mysterious, let's say they win. Next week, you still have two Raws left before day one. You don't need a contract signing for a match like that. I don't know how much interaction you'll have with the guys. So you almost feel like, eh, you know what? Do it right before the last Raw leading into day one. Whoever wins that match has to take on RK-Bro in 5 days. That's it. That's the way I look at it. And look, that match, when you look at day one, that tag team title match is very, very far down on the food chain. Even though we like the teams that are involved, it's still very low on the food chain compared to the other matches. So that's been postponed for 2 weeks. Now, tonight we got Riddle, you know, losing to Otis. Yeah, I don't know if this is really WWE trying to do what they did with Ziggler and Rude for a little while. You know, give a singles win here and a singles win there to try to, you know, make them seem like legitimate contenders. They get a tag title shot one time, they lose, and then they're back to oblivion. What happened to Mansoor, by the way, everybody? What happened to Mansoor's push? Just random thought that I thought the other day. Mansoor, what happened? What happened, Mansoor? But tonight, Veer Mahan is coming soon, everybody. Soon. Emelina, all over again. Mahanalina. I tried to spell it. It didn't look good. That's why we never did it. But if you go to my Twitter, I spliced in Emelina's music. I promise you, it'll be worth the wait. Oh, you've waited. This is my Emma impersonation. You've waited for so long. I promise you, it'll be worth the wait. It looks so hilarious with hearing Emelina's hype music, the making of Emelina, or the remake of Emelina, and you see Veer Mahan's offense. It looks funny, especially when he's circling. So fly. Happy anniversary, my friend. 11 months. 11 months. Make sure you all who are channel members, make sure you pay attention, and there's going to be some little treats coming on that page very, very soon. Speaking of treats, I almost forgot. You know, and thank you everyone who let me know about it, but I had already got the email a week ago, and I think I'm supposed to get them Wednesday, even though I won't be here. But remember the CM Punk AEW cards, that the digital cards, and they said that, you know, by Christmas time you should be able to get the physical cards. On eBay right now, they're selling between $30 and $60 a piece. I ordered 67 of them. And I have all 67 being delivered to me this week. I will have them by Wednesday. My neighbor will hold the box. So tonight, I figure, you know what? Especially since it's a solo show, and especially since we'll probably end this a little earlier since it's a one-sided conversation. But tonight we're going to give away 10, Sean Spears, 10 of these CM Punk cards. 5 of the cards will be for the live viewers. 5 will be those checking out the replay. And yes, if you're smart enough to realize it, if you are live, then you get 2 shots. See, I'm a little blocked from the screen. You get 2 shots at winning a card. Because my live audience out there, you can participate in the live chat in a few minutes, and then we will randomly, you know, pick some winners. And then next week, we will pull 5 names from the comment section, and five more will be given away. So if you're live tonight, you're in the chat room, and you post a comment, you're entered twice. You can't win two cards. You can only win one, but you get two entries. And look, you know, I'm not stupid. 10 cards, $30 to $50 a pop. I could throw it up on eBay and get $300 to $500 if I wanted. But you know what? I know a lot of you out there, you know, wanted those cards. They sold out so quickly. And even if you don't want it, give it to someone else. Put it on eBay. Put it on a bicycle, which would be an expensive decision to do. In fact, anybody even ride bicycles anymore? Would you do that on an exercise bike? You remember when we were kids? My father, to this day, you stupid son of a bitch, putting those baseball cards with the spokes, the clothespins in the tires to make that sound. My God, I grew up collecting cards in the 70s more than anything else as a little kid. And I realized a lot of those baseball cards were from the 60s and the 70s. The amount of money that I just tossed in my bicycles. But do people do put it in exercise bikes so they could hear that sound effect? I don't know. But we're also giving away something else tonight. Now, this contest will obviously go a week. So this will be strictly in the comment section. But someone is going to win this very, very cute AJ Lee signed photo. The card is not available yet. I'm not giving away the card yet. But I think that's a really, really cute photo of AJ Mendez. So we're going to give that away today. And remember, at the big event, that photo is like $150. So we're going to give that away on this show as well. I can tell you the rules right now in the comment section. This way, if any of you have to nod out early tonight, if you want to enter the AJ contest, post a comment in the comment section after the show is over. You have the whole week to do so. And just put AJ. No periods, no spaces. Just put hashtag AJ. That's it. Somewhere in your comment, hashtag AJ. If you want to be in the CM Punk contest for one of the cards in the comment section, in your comment, put hashtag CM Punk. That's it. So either hashtag AJ or hashtag CM Punk, and you'll be automatically entered. Now, for my live friends out there, since winter is coming on Wednesday, and obviously I won't be able to talk about it until Thursday or Saturday, depending on what happens in the hospital, I expect to be here Thursday night, by the way. Even if I'm up for a half an hour, I expect to be here. I don't expect complications. But I think what we're going to do tonight is guess the Dynamite rating. So let's see, what time is it right now? It's 11:34. How's about in 20 minutes we'll do the contest at midnight sharp? I will let you know, and then in the live chat, just post what you think Dynamite's rating is going to be this week. And don't enter it yet. And if any of you out there that hasn't, BJ, happy anniversary, my friend, 9 months. You could add a baby, and you would still been a member. Day one Fatal 4-Way is on. Day one Fatal 4-Way is on HS on December 29th at Toronto. VJ, I have no idea what you're saying. Day one Fatal 4-Way. Oh, I know what he's saying. I know what he's saying. HS as in house show. Gotcha, VJ. Yes, believe it or not, I think it was, who called in yesterday? Liz, she was talking about how some of the WWE house shows leading into March has Kevin Owens announced. Some of the house shows have this Fatal 4-Way. You know, look, this morning to get a little head start on the day, the thumbnail that you see in the, you know, the show now, the one with Bobby Lashley in all red, you know, I posted that this morning. And I noticed in 5 minutes, I got five thumbs down. And I'm saying to myself, you know, I didn't think I did that bad of a job last night on that thumbnail. I'm still new to the thumbnail game. But then I realized it wasn't announced on Raw yet. So people didn't want to be spoiled. So I took it down and I waited till Raw started. And once they started the teaser tonight, then I put it up. But once they started putting it on the house show, you know, that's to test spots out. That is to work the matches. That's old school. That's old school. If anybody remembers, and I brought this up before, anybody remembers back in the day when I used to talk about the house show results, when I used to do my hotline, we would bring up the house show results, and then we would bring it up the next day in another town, and the matches were identical. You would even have moments where, like, a match ended, and they restarted it, and somebody won again, or they would do... And what that was is trying to tweak and iron things out so when the pay-per-view match happened, it's ready to go. So the house shows are like the rehearsal. So, yeah, Bobby Lashley being in the Fatal 4-Way leading up to day one, that is to test things out. You know, tonight it almost felt like Bobby Lashley was a babyface several times. And they were piping in those boos, especially towards the end, to make sure. Now, fans, before you think Bobby Lashley's a clear-cut babyface, remember, he's got to take on Big E tonight. But you might remember about 2 or 3 weeks ago, Mish and I had a discussion about WWE thinking about turning Lashley babyface. You might remember that discussion. There's a timestamp from earlier this month. And you almost feel like down the line, are we going to get Big E and Bobby Lashley versus Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens? Would not be surprised if we get that down the line. Dominic, Braun Strowman debuting for a company that is pretty much done. That's not really a debut. It's a cameo. We talked about Ring of Honor Final Battle yesterday. And, you know, if I start talking about it now, it'll take 10 minutes. But it's sad to see that company go down. To me, Sinclair has done a piss-poor job lately with that company. But then again, would Ring of Honor shut down a couple of years ago if it wasn't for Sinclair? So, no, Jeff, you don't have to put a hashtag. No, the hashtags are not in the chat. It's in the comment section. You can't post a comment in the comment section until the stream is over. I know we used to be able to do that because I would get people before the show even started to be a comment in the comment section. DT, you suck. You suck. You blow. You suck because you blow. You blow because you suck. Can't, so you have to wait until the show is over with the hashtag stuff. But at midnight, we will do the guess the rating contest for the first 5 cards. Then once the show is over, you got the next 5 cards, and you got the AJ photo. So so I wouldn't be surprised if we get down the line Big E and Lashley versus Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens. I almost feel like that's coming. Before we get into the full Raw recap, and I'll be honest with you, because things are so in disarray tonight over here, I had it ready, queued up, right before the show started. I forgot to hit the goddamn button. Doesn't mean I didn't close this page out. So we definitely need to just pay a few moments tribute to Jimmy Rave. Passed away today at the age of 39. And I mentioned this on my tweet earlier today. And if anybody follows me on Twitter, at DonTonyD, you already saw the tweet. But just to show you how much this year sucked with wrestler deaths. Early this afternoon, when I was on lunch, I was just thinking about 2021. And I was thinking about people who passed away in the entertainment world, movies, music, but also in wrestling. And I just couldn't help but to keep thinking about Daphne. You know, it's just, I haven't cleared out my desk yet. I'm looking at the handwritten letters that she sent me over the years, Christmas cards, everything. And I posted a tweet naming as many people as I could that passed away this year in wrestling. And I said, you know, some of them were my friends, not close friends, but some of them were my friends. And 2021 was a horrible year. About 2 hours later, I get an email message. Holy shit, DT. I open up the email, and it's to let me know that Jimmy Rave died at the age of 39. I know a lot of you out there already know what was going on with him. Just to summarize it, you know, Jimmy Rave was forced to retire not too long ago. His body started shutting down. And yes, it's from years of abuse. The first match I ever saw, and I don't have notes written down. I talk from here and here. Thank God this still is pretty good. First match I ever saw Jimmy Rave, I think, was 2003 at Combat Zone Wrestling. Now, you all know already that I started going to Combat Zone Wrestling shows because we would, early on, go to the shows to flyer everybody's cars for the XPW events that were coming to the area. But XPW eventually got a lease with the ECW Arena. So CZW and 3PW were forced to find other places to do their shows. But when we went to that CZW event, that infamous event that we've talked about where we flyered the whole place and then, you know, a whole bunch of people at CZW were looking to beat the shit out of us, Timmy Arson, the ECW zombie, God rest his soul, he was a very close friend of mine. We did a hotline together for a few years. I did all his insurance. And, you know, he's the one in interviews who gave me credit for him still doing the zombie character when he didn't want it. He wanted to be Timmy Arson. He didn't want to be the zombie. He felt it was ridiculous. He came out of Johnny Rods' school. He was much better than that in his eyes. But, you know, the kids loved it. You know, that's why that infamous photo of me and Timmy, if you look closely, I'm squeezing his nipples. Whenever I would take pictures with him, I would always try to do something to make him laugh. So when we went to that CZW event, Timmy Arson, he's like, I'll be right back, guys. And I'm not going to lie, myself, Matt Zombie, Brian Damage, we're scared shit. CZW, Ultra Violence, and you got freaking Zandik and meat hooks and hanging like raw meat from a Rocky movie, and they're doing this wild stuff. And I'm saying to myself, we're going to get killed if they find out what we're doing. And Timmy Arson's like, I'll be right back. He walks to the opposite side of the ECW arena and he starts hanging out with a whole bunch of wrestlers that were just hanging out in the crowd. And that was my earliest memory of CZW. We went back a second time, and then a third time, and then that's when I saw Jimmy Rave. He went up against Trent Acid. I don't remember if it was one-on-one or it was a three-way. But for all of you that remember Trent Acid, I worked shows that Trent Acid was on. Obviously, my stuff was shit, and his was stellar. But Trent Acid battled some serious demons as well, and he died at the age of 30. So here again, you have someone who, obviously, the demons caught up. With Jimmy Rave, though, man, I could only imagine what that must feel like. The last time I felt bad... Oh, Psycho has no idea about the meat hooks in Combat Zone Wrestling. Google it. Google it. The last time I thought about this feeling was when Gordon Solie was very sick. And back in, I don't know if it was 1999, I got an award in the mail. Little crystal award. I got it in a box somewhere. I'm going to find it and show it to you one day. It was the Solie Award. I'm like, what the hell is this? I open it up and it says, Anthony DeBlasi, Solie Award, new best hotline or whatever it was. I'm like, I have no idea. So but the thing was, when I started looking into, you know, his website at the time, which might even still be up, you know, when he got sick at the very end, you know, I think he had issues with his throat or throat cancer or something. Now imagine Gordon Solie, the voice of wrestling. And it takes away your voice. Look at Bobby Heenan. Bobby Heenan, the voice of wrestling, and he gets cancer, takes away his voice. You got Jimmy Rave, who is not even 40 years old, and wrestling was his life, and he has to lose his legs, lose limbs, because he got staph infection. MRSA. I think that's what it's called. MRSA. He had this staph infection in his legs that if they didn't amputate, it would have went to his heart and killed him. Remove his legs. And he still, his body was shutting down. Mick Foley, you know my thoughts on Mick Foley. Mick Foley spearheaded so much support to try to get these bills paid for Jimmy Rave, but unfortunately today, the infection, the battle, it just was too much, and it took him. So, you know, that's why, like I say, you know, I'm not trying to mix in Jeff Hardy with this, but I always feel when it comes to real life issues, I don't care how famous you are, you know, we cry the same, we bleed the same, we battle demons the same, we have mental pain the same. You know, maybe for them it's easier to handle because financially they might be able to get better support. They have a bigger inner circle, obviously, or support group online. But at the end of the day, you know, cancer and addiction and health and not having health, you know, it doesn't determine, you know, oh, this guy's a rich guy. Oh, this guy's a celebrity. You know, we'll ease up on them. No, if it gets you, it gets you. And it got Jimmy Rave today, 39 years old. Props to everyone out there, from Prince Nana to all the wrestlers out there. Prince Nana, I mean, the embassy. And, you know, I haven't talked to Nana personally for a while. I did personal business with Nana. I won't bring up the stories again, but he was just on AEW Dynamite, I believe. Not Dynamite, AEW Dark. But, you know, it's just, it's really, really sad. And I found this picture that I thought was really, really cool. And that's Jimmy Rave with CM Punk. That picture looks like it's around 04, maybe 05. I'd say maybe 04, 05. But 39 years old. Rest in peace. Rest in peace. The infection is gone. So, all right. Let's talk about Raw a little bit. And look, as we started doing... Oh, you like that? Yeah. Figure maybe once in a while we put a ticker on the bottom with like some news or ratings numbers. You know, why not? As you could see, the ratings from this weekend, Rampage pretty much had no change, 503,000 viewers. You know, with all due respect, when I see these websites saying AEW Rampage rating goes up, yeah, what, 4,000? 4,000. Making it sound like, you know, it's bigger than what it is. But SmackDown went up 5.5%, 2,142,000. And Impact Wrestling still in the mud, 90,000. Just terrible, terrible for Impact Wrestling. So I made this concerted effort about a month ago to change how we do Mondays. You know, not always, you know, we're not going to spend an hour, hour and a half on Raw recaps. Why? Tonight's Raw, I mean, let's be honest. The Bobby Lashley stuff I enjoyed. There was a couple of little things that I enjoyed. I honestly thought he was going to do something to Gable Stevenson. How many of you out there thought after he fist bumped that we thought we were going to see something more? Not yet. Not yet. But, you know, when Raw is lackluster, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to just scream at the top of my lungs why Raw sucks? And Rhea Ripley, what they've done to her, and this and that? Or do we just burn through it fast and we get into other topics? We get into that, boy, I got to be careful about Hannibal. Maybe he'll show up at my house one day and carve my ass up. We'll talk about his shit with that referee. So, a few other things. So anyway, Raw tonight. Obviously, the storyline that they hyped up was Lashley was going to explain why he did what he did last week. As if we didn't realize, you know, he wanted to be in a WWE Championship match at day one. And he comes out, cuts his promo. Kevin Owens comes out. Kevin Owens, I tell you, if Bobby Lashley was the star of tonight, Kevin Owens is a close second. Because Kevin Owens, if you really read between the lines, Kevin Owens tonight was classic heel. Smart heel. You know, when he tapped out immediately when Bobby Lashley put the Hurt Lock on him, as a chicken shit heel, of course he's going to tap out right away. Why should I get hurt? I'm not the one that's defending my championship at day one. You know, he put me in the move. That's it. I'm out. Done. He shows up and tries to help Seth Rollins to get Lashley out of the match. And that Adam Pearce, Sonya Deville stuff is not working, man. You heard the boos tonight. It's the same shit every time. You know, the only difference is Adam Pearce does the Mick Foley and he'll name drop the town thinking he'll get the cheap pop. No, 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 no. Nice try, Kevin. No, 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 no. But not here in blah, blah, blahsville. You know, we're not going to have it end that way. We're going to restart the match. 5 seconds later, Bobby Lashley wins. If you're going to ask yourself, why did we have the matches so separated tonight and not a gauntlet match? Well, because, and look, I'm not an athlete. I certainly don't look like one, and I'm not. But this is just a little something you may not understand. But, you know, when someone is in the physical condition like these wrestlers are, you know, it takes a lot to loosen up. They stretch. They do a lot of things, drink a lot of water, they avoid cramps. And when Bobby Lashley is done with a match, you know, it gives him time to, you know, recoup. And especially since he was going to have such a long, you know, stiff match with Big E towards the end. So, you know, Bobby Lashley is not a person that's designed that should be out there for 40 minutes. So you have a match with, you know, Kevin Owens. It ends quickly, 4 minutes. It saves Bobby Lashley's energy for the end. He has a little bit of a more longer match with Seth Rollins, you know, little storytelling involved. That saves Bobby Lashley for the main event. Now, look, I'm not defending WWE on this. It all has to work with execution. Sometimes it works fine. I thought the crowd was into the Bobby Lashley stuff tonight. But the storyline tonight was that Bobby Lashley would be added to the Fatal Four as a Fatal Four-Way if he beat all three members, period. And he beat Kevin Owens in 4 minutes. He lost to Seth Rollins because Kevin Owens interfered and caused the disqualification, attacking Seth Rollins, so the ref would call the bell on Lashley just to have Sonya and Adam Pearce come out and look like dopes, not their fault. And since Kevin Owens caused the DQ, they decide that the restart with Bobby Lashley and Seth Rollins would be no DQ, and the match with Big E would also be no DQ. So what happens? The match restarts, Bobby Lashley with spear, and it's done. It's over. He gets the win on Seth Rollins. So that was the story pretty much for tonight. Big E. And I know we jump ahead because we're talking about the story as a whole. But Big E tonight, very competitive match with Bobby Lashley. Big E loses nothing, even though he lost to Bobby Lashley. Tables got involved in this match. Towards the end of the match, Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens came out to interfere. Big E, I guess, got a little bit pissed off about them interfering, so he basically takes out Kevin Owens, puts him through a table outside the ring. Bobby Lashley spears Seth Rollins through the table in the corner and in the ring, which looked pretty stiff. And then MVP hits the ring with a cane, hits Big E in the ankle. You know, no DQ. Bobby Lashley gets the win. So Bobby Lashley goes into the Fatal Four-Way. And that's what it was designed for. My apologies for anybody who got mad that I posted that thumbnail early this morning, you know, because I agree, let it play out on TV and then post it. But that pretty much was the situation with those guys tonight. Something that just looked horrible. Horrible. Zelina, Queen Zelina versus Rhea Ripley. The match went about 40 seconds. The storyline with Nikki now is she's not confident. She's losing. I don't know if Nikki is going to turn like we wanted it a while back. We don't know. It seems like there's going to be a split, maybe a feud between the two. But the execution tonight was horrendous. Horrendous. Just to try to set this up. You have Nikki in the back with Rhea, talking about Rhea's match with Zelina tonight. Nikki, I kind of feeling like she's a failure. Rhea Ripley giving her a pep talk. You know, let's go out there and let's shut these Muppets up. So Rhea Ripley starts having a match with Queen Zelina. You get Carmella and Nikki A.S.H. who enter the ring. And I guess Carmella was supposed to super kick Nikki A.S.H. in the face and knock her ass out. She grazed Nikki's shoulder. And Nikki went down. And if you remember how I described Andre Chase on NXT, when Cameron Grimes rolled him back in the ring, she's selling it like she got beheaded. And then Dopey, the way it came across, Rhea Ripley goes in the corner, Nikki, are you okay? Are you okay? And Zelina hits Rhea Ripley with the finisher, gets the win. Match was about a minute. It looked awful on TV. I understand right now they don't want Rhea Ripley in the women's championship picture. So they were forced to bring Rhea Ripley down quite a few notches to keep her out of the women's championship picture right now. It is just, it's hurting her tremendously. Somebody in that group is going to snap, get fed up with the losses. I expect Rhea Ripley to have another match, maybe next week or the week after. And Nikki will want to show her support. And I think Rhea is going to say, stay in the back. You know what? For this match, stay in the back. And I think if they go the way that we thought they were going to go a while ago, Nikki will ultimately snap. It's what it feels like. It's what it feels like. Bianca Belair versus Doudrop. I have nothing against Bianca. I wanted her to regain that women's championship months ago. I have nothing against Doudrop. I like Doudrop. Mish and I have been singing a lot of praise for Doudrop. This is the storyline, the feud that we never asked for, that we don't want, but it's being forced because just like Rhea Ripley, they don't want Bianca Belair in the women's championship picture right now. So Doudrop is almost like the giant gnat, the mosquito that won't go away. That little fly that flies around in your house that you thought you swatted, but it keeps coming back. Bianca Belair gets a nice win on Doudrop tonight. You know, nice looking splash off the top rope. And she's celebrating. And you could tell exactly what was going to happen. I think maybe some of you out there thought someone else was going to come out and attack Bianca. No, Eva Marie. But, you know, when she's spinning her hair and she's on the rampway and you could tell it's a little bit too long. It's like the extended version. And what happens? Doudrop hits her from behind, lays her out. The feud is not over yet. We got to get through the Liv Morgan, Becky Lynch feud first. Then you may see the shift back for Bianca Belair. Yes, Benjamin, no shit, Eva Marie was released. That's why I said you don't expect Eva Marie to come out. So that feud is not over with. The match was fine. Maybe after day one, we'll be done with that. Otis beating Matt Riddle. As much as I enjoy Matt Riddle, man. By the way, props to all of you out there who brought it to my attention. I completely forgot last week. When Matt Riddle was revealed as a shaman for MSK, there was a part of the clip where they see just the smoky silhouette of the person, and the person was wearing wrestling boots. And a lot of people were like, oh, nice boots, Riddle. Go back and watch it. I didn't even pick up on that until some of you brought it to my attention. But Otis beats Riddle tonight. And with all due respect, if you look back at 2021, Riddle has a boatload of singles losses. I mean, Omos is probably his kryptonite. But, man, Riddle has lost a lot of... of course, they're not going to have Randy Orton lose a lot of matches, but Riddle has lost a lot of singles matches this year. Benjamin, no shit, they did a stand-in. The point is, in storyline, why is the Shaman wearing boots? I don't have to clarify every little thing. You know this. I know you're an intelligent person. So Otis beats Riddle today, and before we can bitch about it, Randy with the RK out of nowhere to Chad Gable. So what happens next week? Tag team match. Then the following week, the RK Broneman finals, and then we got day one. That's where it seems like this is all going. Do not be surprised if it goes that route. Liv Morgan and Becky Lynch. Yes, they will have a match at day one. I don't see the outcome being anything different. This time around, Becky Lynch hits the ring, and she's thrown a lot of insults to Liv Morgan's way, throwing insults to the fans. Oh, and by the way, I got to show you this. If you missed Raw tonight, last week we had Liv Girl. Tonight we got Beck Girl. Do we call her Beck Girl or Becky Girl or Lynch Girl? That's it. Give it to me, WrestleMania. That's it. Lynch Girl versus Liv Girl. Lynch Girl versus Liv Girl. Yeah, she was not having Liv Morgan tonight. Becky Girl? Okay. Becky Girl versus Liv Girl. I'll go with that. So we had a very pissed off young wrestling fan tonight. Was not happy at Liv Morgan. And, Becky basically saying, you don't have the fire. Liv Morgan says you got a cheap win last week. Becky said you should have known that. You should have done it before I did. So you know what's going to happen. We saw this on SmackDown. We saw it in multiple matches. When Becky had rematches with Bianca, we saw it in Saudi Arabia. Becky's going to cheat to win again. Maybe the ref will catch it this time around, but I don't see Liv Morgan getting the championship right now. I like Liv Morgan. I said in 2022, Liv Morgan will be a women's champion at some point in 2022. I just feel right now, it's not that time yet. I thought she proved a lot last week to show that she belongs, and WWE should invest further in Liv Morgan. But it's not ready yet. So Liv Morgan issues the challenge for a rematch. Becky then attacks Liv Morgan, puts her arm inside the barricade, look good on TV. And Liv Morgan is crying in pain. And Becky says, yeah, I'll take the rematch. You know, I'm going to go home, I'm going to train, I'm going to hang out with my hot husband, my baby, and you should ice that. So we're going to get the rematch at day one. Again, this is why Rhea is in the storyline with Nikki, and this is why Bianca is in the storyline with Doudrop, because they don't want fans to be... Oh, and by the way, let me say this too, because a few of you said this tonight, and I don't like to tweet during wrestling telecasts, because I like to just watch the TV and just be a wrestling fan sometimes, and if I live on social media during wrestling shows, it just brings me down. It just makes me feel like, why am I even watching this show? Everything sucks. Everything is awful. But when they said that Liv Morgan may need to go to a medical facility, there was quite a few of you out there that said, why don't they just say hospital? And I'm going to give you the answer. If you go on Google, let's say they're in Dallas, Texas. Just use an example. Dallas, Texas. If you Google hospitals around the Dallas, Texas area, there's not that many. There's not many. But there could be dozens and dozens and dozens of medical facilities. Medical facility could be an urgent care. Could be anything. So WWE, for a while now, has broadened the term because, yes, some wrestling fans will actually call hospitals. Is Liv okay? They said she was rushed to the hospital, and there's only four hospitals. Is she okay? We don't have anybody here by the name of Liv Morgan. Okay, and they call the next hospital. That is the God honest truth. So when they say medical facility, yeah, Darren, you're right. Could be doctor in the back. Could be down the block. You know, if this was the 1900s, it could be somebody's basement. That's why they use medical facility. AJ Styles and Omos kind of teasing the further split over there. AJ Styles being interviewed by Sarah Schreiber. He says that it was disrespectful that Omos walked out on him, but he wasn't ready to give up on the team. And I think he referenced Omos as the kid. The kid's got something. Omos shows up. And again, it's going to be interesting to see who the crowd ends up cheering for, because it feels like, you know, they're going to go in some direction. I think Omos will end up being the babyface. I know Mish and I had a little disagreement with that last week. I think Omos ends up being the babyface of this. Connor, I didn't say that. You need to rewind tonight's show. I said there were some segments that I did like tonight. Not everything was bad. But if you go on social media, you read nothing but bad shit. This sucks. This sucks. This is terrible. This is awful. This is garbage. Kevin Owens was so sly as a chicken shit heel today. But everybody that I read, oh, Kevin Owens jobbed out. He must be leaving. Jobbed out. He's going to be all elite soon. Blah, 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 blah. He lost and he got jobbed out. 3-minute match. Jobbed out. No, he tapped out before he get his ass kicked. I said earlier specifically that there were moments tonight that I liked. Not everything was bad. I don't know if the 24/7 championship segment was bad or good tonight, but, you know, we talked about it last week. Will Reggie kind of sort of romance Dana Brooke to get that championship back? This big elaborate scheme. Hot chocolate. Now, yeah, in 2021, someone out there will probably get triggered if I say this, but I don't know if Reggie was talking about the hot chocolate that you drink, if you know what I mean. Someone get triggered over something stupid like that. But they're walking down the street. Wherever they were, it was snow on the ground. And they had that dumb fucking Kalisto or, you know, Cincada. No, it was the Cincada leap thing, you know, the catapult. They had it hidden behind a snowbank. So what ends up happening? R-Truth is dressed up as a Christmas tree and Tozawa is dressed up as a snowman. Tamina is dressed up as Tamina. And they try to get involved. They kind of screw each other up. Dana runs out of Dodge, and I could have sworn Dana hit the catapult. And then Reggie does it. He flips over, and they escape. And Tamina's pissed off at R-Truth and Tozawa. Kind of, you know, it was a little comedy segment. I just like, if they go the innocent romantic angle, that's what I said last Monday I'd like to see. So, I guess that segment was not that bad. Look, R-Truth, I like it, man. I mean, sure, I would rather see him in the ring a little bit more, but a little lighthearted comedy. You know, as long as they don't do that with another championship title there, do it with the 24/7 title, you know? So, Gordon says at least he didn't mention hot coffee. You mean coffee as like Kofi? Because I used to say that with Kofi Kingston. Coffee. Hot coffee. But, so that's the other segment we got. Now, the only other match that we didn't talk about yet, and honestly, everyone, I didn't see any problem with it. I know people out there that look at Finn Balor, and they almost don't want to call him Finn Balor. They still call him Prince Devitt. You know, it's funny when some people on social media, like, they can't get your attention when they talk about Finn Balor. So they think by using his previous gimmick, that, no, I'm serious. We should never see Prince Devitt lose because of distraction from a selfie. That's Prince Devitt that we're talking about. Oh, shut the fuck up. Seriously. I mean, it's kind of sucks that I'm a little, like, tired of Vince. But, you know, Vince still on TV a little bit. You could see the catchphrases are forced. You know, he can't even throw a good one out anymore. I do it better than him now. Shut up! So, Austin Theory gets involved during a tag match tonight. We had Damian Priest, who got a loss tonight, but not singles action. Damian Priest and Finn Balor versus Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode. And basically, Finn Balor gets distracted because Austin Theory hits the ring. Finn is distracted, gets pinned, and then Austin Theory snaps a couple of selfies and runs out of the ring, and then he shows up to Vince. Hey, look what I did. I'm not impressed. And then Vince says, I'm going to have to do something. I don't like doing. I have no friends. I don't want friends. I don't have any pencils, but he takes out a pencil. So I guess we were supposed to believe, like Austin Theory, that the power of the pencil, that Vince would maybe sign a match. Are we going to get Finn Balor versus Austin Theory at day one? I don't know. Maybe. But we thought the power of the pen, he's going to reward Austin Theory by giving him a match. Remember what I said 2 weeks ago? I think Vince is going to give a gift to Austin Theory for the holidays. Maybe it'll end up being a match at day one. I don't know. But instead, Vince is not talking about the power of the pencil. He's talking about the eraser. Maybe erasing Austin Theory. I like the skits. I know a lot of you out there don't. I like it. It's comedy. It's lighthearted. Sure. I'm sure, you know, nobody really wanted to see Finn Balor lose because of something related to the storyline. But you know what? Looking back on it years from now, if Austin Theory becomes a big star, I think we're going to look back at this match. And look, we just heard Killer Cross say it on his Twitch over the weekend. We've seen other people in interviews say it. You know, Finn Balor gets high praise from the entire roster. And believe me, I tell you, Austin Theory, if he gets a match with Finn Balor, and possibly gets a win over Finn Balor, that is going to be something that will be brought up in interviews for years to come. You know, one of your favorite matches early in your career, Finn Balor. You know, I mean, Finn Balor's not, you know, washed up yet. But let's also be honest, ever since that feud with Roman Reigns, it feels like Finn Balor's momentum is really at a standstill right now. So it is what it is. So that was pretty much your episode of Raw tonight, with the exception of The Miz and Edge. We have Maryse in Miz TV. And we had a little altercation with Maryse and Miz. I don't buy it. Basically, Miz throwing the insult. He, you know, they mentioned he's a two-time WWE champion, an eight-time Intercontinental champion, a two-time United States champion, a Money in the Bank winner, the first two-time Grand Slam champion, an eight-time tag team champion. Throwing the bad mouth to Edge. We know they're already facing off at day one. Miz and Maryse having a little champagne. And Edge hits the ring, calls him a jack-off, and throws some insults. You know, it almost felt a little bit like MJF's New York Post interview. You know, when MJF says, you know, this is not the CM Punk of old. And we kind of got that tonight, you know, when they had that little discussion, Miz and Edge, not the Edge of old. So anyway, long story short, Miz throws champagne in Edge's face. Edge goes to hit Miz, and Miz does the Macho Man. you know, when he Macho Man used to put Miss Elizabeth in front of him as a shield. Maryse was not having that tonight. She got pissed off. She actually slapped The Miz, left the ring. Everybody thinks Maryse, babyface now. You know, how dare her husband put her in harm's way? Set up, everybody. Set up, set up, set up. They must think that maybe Maryse will be an X factor in that match with Edge and The Miz. Remember what I said way before Beth Phoenix was ever leaving NXT? I expect a mixed tag team match to come out of this. I believe it'll happen. And this was a setup tonight. This was a setup tonight. Maryse is not going to be on the opposite side of Miz for very long. They may tease it for a couple of weeks, but I don't see that. That's a rouge. Absolutely. Absolutely. Main event results from tonight. Veer Mahan. He got a win over Cedric Alexander. And T-Bar over Apollo Crews. That's an interesting match. T-Bar over Apollo Crews. By the way, wasn't Apollo Crews in Vince's office tonight too? Just thinking about it. So that was your episode of Raw tonight. Not a bad episode, but there was a couple of things, you know, that the Lashley stuff, like I said, was excellent. Kevin Owens was great tonight. Big E was not bad. Seth Rollins is Seth Rollins. You know, it was just, you know, the women's stuff in the ring was awful. Some of the skits were you know, but it's episodic TV, everyone. This is all storyline to lead to day one. Oh, for those that are curious, I never heard of them before, but Migos, I think that's how you pronounce it. Migos will be a special appearance at day one. They're a hip hop artist. And I believe they are performing on day one. So if any of you out there that are fans of Migos, go check it out. Theme park. Soon. Day one. Soon. Someone sent this to me while I was doing the show, and I saved it while I was talking. That is a little tribute. I think Bill Behrens posted that today. Little highlight of Jimmy Rave's career. And I know the funeral arrangements are being made, and a service will be public and details will be put online. So anybody with video, if you want to read that, I have it on the screen. You could always go back and post this. You know, a lot of nice tributes coming out today for Jimmy Rave. So there you go. You know, little quick comment. Guys, gals, remember this? Price check on a jackass. Steve Austin and Booker T, that supermarket brawl. I can't believe today is the 20-year anniversary of that brawl. 20 years ago today. So I already said it on social media earlier. Over the weekend, if I feel up to it, I'm going to go into my storage unit, pull my old hard drives, and find the hotline reports from that time period. Because I had so much fun covering that when it went down in 2001. That was just, and I still remember the controversy when everybody thought that Booker T's pee-pee popped out. Because he was laying in the shopping cart by the cash register. And the way it was, and I know Booker T has talked about it over the years, but the way it looked like his penis slipped out of his pants. Once you realize that did not happen, you know, you look back on, you're like, okay, that's almost impossible the way that it was, but that was epic, man. 20 years ago. 20. It's crazy shit, man. Crazy shit. Oh, yeah, there's your selfie. There's your Austin Theory selfie with Finn Balor. Oh, my God. Now they're having Prince Devitt losing to distractions from selfies. Guys, why didn't you tell me we were past midnight? We were going to do the contest. Let's do it now. Let's do it now. All right. Don't write it yet. Let me explain the instructions. Very easy. In the live chat right now, we're going to do Guess the Dynamite ratings contest. Winter is coming this Wednesday. Bryan Danielson versus Hangman Page. A lot of hype for Winter is coming. Guess the rating. The five people that come the closest to the actual rating will win one of these CM Punk cards. Like I said, I have almost 70 of them. I might even have a little more than 70. So we're going to give away 10, but five will be the Guess the Ratings contest. This is just for the live chat. When I say go, we'll keep the contest up for 60 seconds because it should not take you more than a couple of seconds to type what you think the Dynamite rating is going to be. Don't type it yet. But little advice for anybody that never participated in one of these contests. Now, number one, a very important rule. Do not post more than once in the chat as far as a ratings prediction. If you do, I take your first one. So if you write 949 and then a minute later you write 959, your first choice, and if you delete, you're out of the contest. Because some people do that once in a while. They'll type it, and then they'll see that others are right around that same rating, and they'll delete their comment and then type it again. You're not allowed to delete anything. And everybody can see the replay of the chat. So it is transparent. I can't finagle it in any way. Now, little piece of advice. Think of eBay and think of the Price is Right. You know, if you think, let's say you think it's going to be 950,000 viewers. Let's just say, you know, you don't have to just write 950,000. You could write 950,177 or 950,001, whatever you want to do. You know, but like I said, we're going to just have it up for 60 seconds. So don't wait until the last 3 seconds to post it, because once I say time's up, that's it. In fact, I'm probably going to type time's up in the chat. So anything, actually what I'm going to do is this. I'm going to put a whole bunch of stars right now, and I'm going to put go in the chat. You will have 60 seconds to post your prediction, and then once those 60 seconds are up, I'll type again time's up. Anything between those two will go. So you ready? You ready? Just tell me what you think this week's AEW Dynamite rating is going to be. Oh, it'd be funny if I put it in the right box. Almost an epic fail over here. All right, here we go. You ready? Set? Go. So post your what you think the rating is going to be. Some people are asking me what I believe it's going to be. I think it's going to be... I'm going to go with 962. So you have about 45 seconds still. I'm just getting my little typing set up where it says contest over. And again, you know, on the replay, I'll be able to see everybody's entry. So you know, anybody that deletes, unfortunately, you know, nobody's done it yet, but gone from the contest. If you put more than one entry, your first one is the first one we take. All right, we're almost done. Got about 30 seconds left. So we're at an hour and 19 minutes. So we're going to go about another, I don't know, 15 minutes? I think so. I think really I want to talk about Hannibal, Devin Nicholson. No reason why we have to get any further than that. All right, we're going to about end it, everyone. So by the way, while you're looking at that, Zelina and Carmella finally got their nameplates on their tag titles. After all this time, they finally got the nameplates. Makes you realize that this was probably a very spur-of-the-moment decision on WWE's part, that they didn't have them ready to go. All right, so everyone, 10-second countdown. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Contest over. Uva. Yes. Good luck, everybody. So, like I said, later on after the show is over, post a comment in the comment section. After your comment, if you want to be in the other CM Punk giveaway, just put hashtag CM Punk. If you want to be in the AJ Mendez signed photo giveaway, just hashtag AJ. Very simple. All right. All right, let's talk about this. Now, I want to open up with saying a simple sentence. Hey, everybody out there in show land, website land, podcast land, this referee does have a name, Leandro Del Toro. From TMZ to Fightful to all these websites, and I'm 99% sure because I read it before I said it. They just reference him as the referee, the referee, the referee. Well, he's got a fucking name. I watched especially the TMZ article, and they're talking about Devin Nicholson, Hannibal, attacking this referee, and they never once mention his name, which I thought was just awful, absolutely awful. Now, where are the... Okay, I'm just getting the photos ready because it's something I got to show you. I'm not going to show the actual stabbing. Not going to do that. But there's definitely something I got to show you about this. Something that is going to make you think a little bit. Now, for those that don't know, Devin Nicholson, Hannibal, is the same guy that over 10 years ago, when I was friends with Bison Smith, remember wrestler Bison Smith that died a while back? I was friends with him. Loved to tune into my shows. He told me a lot of stories about Devin Nicholson. Devin Nicholson, Hannibal, was the one that accused Abdullah the Butcher of giving him hepatitis. And Devin Nicholson tried to sue WWE because WWE, once they realized he had hepatitis, they took away his developmental deal or whatever deal they offered him. You got hepatitis, we're not going to run the risk of you giving someone else hepatitis. So he never got the job at WWE. Now, over the years, I lightened up on Devin Nicholson a little bit. There's an infamous clip on YouTube that I can't believe has like 30,000 views. It says Don Tony owns Devin Nicholson. Someone else posted it. So I talked about it at least a decade ago. And, you know, I recently lightened up on the guy a little bit, but I said, you know, some of his, you know, channel, like he puts some content up there that's comes off as inappropriate, but it almost feels like it's being done for hits. It's something crazy happened over the weekend. If you want to see the footage, you go on TMZ. You could do a YouTube search. You could find it. There was a wrestling event in Texas, and Devin Nicholson, he now wrestles under the mask as the Blood Hunter. Now, let me say this, and I promise you what I'm about to say, I am not defending the guy, and I'm not ripping the guy. All I'm saying is that when you have a character and his name is the Blood Hunter, you would think that his gimmick is to hunt for blood. So when he had the match with Carlito, and he beat Carlito, but I don't remember Carlito drawing blood, the Blood Hunter's got to get blood from somebody. And Devin Nicholson went after the referee. Now, I have a statement here from Devin Nicholson, him trying to defend what he did. And I also have a statement from the referee that was actually the referee in the match. And I'm going to read both of them to you very, very quickly. But just to summarize, after the match is over, Devin Nicholson grabs a spike and starts jabbing this guy's head. I don't know if you could see that very well. I think you can. He is at the emergency room. You hear people in the, you know, yelling for 911. I don't understand why Devin Nicholson was not arrested, period. This happened in Texas. This didn't happen in anything goes Mexico. But I also say this. I cannot find anywhere that this Leandro Del Toro, the referee, pressed charges. You got a wrestler with a spike stabbing you in the head. It is sickening to watch. It is grotesque. But I can't find anywhere this referee pressing charges against Devin Nicholson. That's concerning to me. But there's something else that I want you to see. Now, it's not video because I don't want to run the risk of any strikes. But if you've heard about this story over the weekend, I want to show you something. I took four screenshots. I took four screenshots. And I'm going to show you the four of them. This is about a 5-second span in this. And I'm being dead serious here about this. All right? I want you to look at the next clip. Okay? See the referee? See his right hand grabbing his own shirt? We're going to go to frame number three. 3 out of 4. Now his left hand is lifted. And it looks like he's going to put something in his shirt. Now we go to the fourth. He puts something in his shirt. He bladed himself. The original segment was intentional. Devin Nicholson, who is the blood hunter, was hunting blood. And now I'll show them to you without pausing it, and you just look at it. See? Watch. He put the blade in his shirt. He's not trying to pull away Devin Nicholson's hands. Something just does not add up to me. Something doesn't add up to me. There is a legit GoFundMe for him out there. But again, I ask you this. Explain to me in a law enforcement view, if Devin Nicholson snapped, lost it, whatever, even if it was unintentional, wait till I read you his statement. You stab someone. Oh, it was an accident. You fucking still stab someone. The fact that this ref, look, I'm not saying that this referee deserved what he got. Nothing justifies what happened to this referee. But there's a little, it's a little strange that, number one, the referee never pressed charges. And number two, you know, when you see that the referee bladed himself and is more concerned about putting the blade in the shirt. If I have someone around my head, look at these photos again. I'm going to put it in the left-hand corner. If someone is doing that, you know, I'm going to do everything I can to try to like pull. It'd be nice if I hit play to pull his arms away. He's just shoving a blade in his pocket, in his shirt, and that's it. Somebody's stabbing me in the head. It's going to be as if I touched a hot stove. I'm going to do everything I possibly can to try to stop this guy. Grab the mask, grab the head, grab the arms, something. Show with your hands. I put a blade in a shirt. Fuck the blade. Even if the blade is visible, even if you tossed it, even if you threw it to the side, what's more important? Oh, exposing that he bladed or getting stabbed in the head multiple times? So this is what he looks like. And I feel awful for this referee. Again, nothing justifies what happened. So I want to read you Devin Nicholson's statement. You tell me if you buy this or not. I'm looking at it. Okay. What happened? This is Devin Nicholson, Hannibal, Bloodhunter. This is his statement. What happened is that this referee was supposed to bleed from razor blade cuts. I assumed he actually cut himself with the razor blades. He gave no indication to me, and you people could watch the footage. Zero indication to me in the ring that he wasn't just selling and was legitimately hurt. He says that he thought he covered the tip of the spike with his hand. He thought that he covered it. Now, I got a pen in my hand with the tip. So if you have it like this, if I start going like this, I'm going to stab my hand. He claims, I'm not defending him. He claims that he thought he had the tip blocked. So when he was going like this, look, I'm really, nothing's happening. He says he thought he covered the tip of the spike with his hand. And he simply believed that Del Toro was putting on a show for the crowd as he pounded his forehead. If he had told him he was getting hurt, he would have stopped. He also claimed that, like, he couldn't see all that great through the eyes on the mask, that it got a little bit, I don't know if it was sweat or whatever it was. But I'll say this. After this guy, because look, if you seek out what I said about Devin Nicholson over 10 years ago, one thing that I said on that clip is that Bison Smith used to tell me that when Devin Nicholson was in Puerto Rico, I think it was Puerto Rico and some other areas, Devin Nicholson bled like a pig. And I even threw the question out there. You know, everybody always said that, you know, Abby gave Devin Nicholson hepatitis. What if it was the reverse? But if you listen to what I said back then, and then you look at this now, for a guy that almost had his entire career taken away from him due to hepatitis, for a guy that lost his WWE opportunity because of hepatitis, because he was on a campaign to disbar Abdullah the Butcher from anything Hall of Fame or anything else, how does this guy, if the battling hepatitis, have a gimmick called the Bloodhunter? After what he went through, he's now doing a gimmick involving people bleeding? Am I in the Twilight Zone here? I mean, I'm not going to compare it to other health issues. This guy had hepatitis and lost a lot of his career because of it and accused other people of bleeding and causing him to have that. And he's got a character called the Bloodhunter. I don't know how this guy has a job doing that. Anybody, and the weird thing about this is some of what he's saying kind of makes sense, but regardless, and I'm not trying to be PC here. I'm not trying to be 2021 garbage or anything like that. Motherfucker, you had hepatitis for years and years and years. You claim that somebody else's blood ruined your career. And you think that after all of that, bleed. I bleed, you bleed, we all bleed. This guy nuts? It's nuts. Anyway, the referee that was actually in this match was not the referee that got slashed. I want to read you briefly what the other referee had to say about this, and this may sway you in one way or the other. And it may even make you think, like, something's up here. He says that he was the referee in the match, not the ref that got fucked up, but the actual referee. Bloodhunter refused to listen to the referee, and he could tell that something was off. He immediately told Carlito to get the fuck out of there and finish the match. Bloodhunter went totally off the hinges and refused to listen to me. He tore the other referee up, then hid the weapon he used to do it. Cops were called. I gave a full statement about what I believed happened. Kevin fucking Sullivan told me to kayfabe the cops. Full disclosure, this is absolutely not on the company that had the event. This is 100% on Hannibal. I told the cops what I thought. I believe it was absolutely assault. He went way above and beyond working. There was no safety on his part. And as a rep, the most critical thing I can offer the people I work with is that I will make sure that they are safe. And I feel like I completely failed at that. I started screaming at Hannibal backstage before the cop showed up that he had just murdered the other ref. Not murdered, but... And he seemed like he was going to come at him. And Jacob Fatu stepped up and was threatening to beat his ass despite him having no clue what had happened. And then he goes on and on and on. He talks about prior to the match, to get to the match, and pretty much afterwards. He says, blood under wins with the shittiest roll-up I ever see. Andrew Anderson comes out of the brawl with Carlito. Follow him to the back. Other referee comes out. Spike comes out. Instead, I look out and I see Bloodhunter wailing on the third ref. And I'm thinking, this is taking too long. So I go back out. Third ref hasn't started bleeding yet. So what I believe happened is that Bloodhunter got pissed that the third ref wasn't able to cut himself. So Bloodhunter did it himself. I know some of you are going to think New Jack right away. First, he choked the third ref into unconsciousness. I just so happen to have one. Look, everybody, I'm unconscious. Look, I'm gonna do juggling. Unconscious. Something doesn't add up here. Something doesn't add up, especially that after all of this, Kevin Sullivan is telling him to kayfabe the cops. Wasn't there a phrase that used to be on the shows, you can't cancel 911? When the cops showed up, where is the interview of the victim? All right, he interviewed the witness. Why is there not an arrest at all or even taken into custody? But there's a GoFundMe. I have no problem sending some money for this man. If you show that this was so appalling that you press charges. I don't see any statement from this man saying, I pressed charges. I was assaulted. The guy stabbed me in my head. I got staples and stitches everywhere. I don't see any of that. I see a GoFundMe, but I don't see anything else. So all I'm saying is, in summary, is that what happened to this referee is awful. Something didn't seem right with Devin Nicholson 12 years ago. I don't know the man personally. All I know is that just with the hepatitis stuff, the fact that he's doing a Bloodhunter gimmick is just weird in itself. But I don't know, man. Something just doesn't jive here. I don't find any fault in the promotion. I don't think the promotion had a clue what was going on. But again, think of the name of the wrestler, Bloodhunter. Bloodhunter. He beats Carlito, who's not bleeding. Am I like missing something here? Devin Nicholson claiming that he had no idea that he was doing that. He could very well be telling the truth. But just the fact that all this happened, whether it was an accident or not, there is a lot of common sense things missing here. There's a lot of common sense things missing. And I expect more to come out. I just want to see what happened with the cops. A police report had to have been filed. There's got to be documentation of that report that'll become available. So let's let it play out a little bit more. Right now, TMZ is looking to sensationalize the story. The guy, you know, obviously got injured very, very badly. That is just, you know, just imagine what that must have felt like. That is awful. But there's a couple of things that just don't make sense. And again, if you check out a lot of other places, they will not get into this side of it. They'll just talk about how he should be banned from wrestling and it's awful and everybody should go donate money to this guy and everything like that. And I'm all for supporting this guy. But there's a lot of other things that don't seem to make sense to me. And I do believe that he was supposed to blade because he's the blood hunter. You know, the referee was supposed to blade, but I don't know, man. Something's up. Something's up. So, all right. I think we are going to wrap it up. I think we got into the important topics at hand. We are an hour and 40 minutes. So, again, I want to thank you all for hanging out tonight. Before I get out of here, I want to just give a couple of quick shout-outs. I know there was at least two Super Chats that came in earlier. Chris Silva, who do I think will beat Roman Reigns for the Universal Championship? This is a question that keeps getting asked to me, and I'm going to answer it the same way until I feel otherwise. Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns likely will have a stranglehold on that championship, possibly into WrestleMania 2023. WWE has realized that they can draw the same numbers, draw the same attendance with half the roster they had before. So I'm not comparing it to Hulkamania years, but there was a time where Backlund had the stranglehold on the WWF Championship, Hogan had the stranglehold on that title, and there is no reason why Roman Reigns can't have a stranglehold on that title for a year and a half. I think Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns at day one will end in a clusterfuck. Brock Lesnar, I think, may win the Royal Rumble if he needs to win the Royal Rumble to get the title shot. Remember, he doesn't necessarily need to win the Rumble to face Roman at WrestleMania. But I think Brock will ultimately face Roman at WrestleMania, beat him for the championship, and then maybe Roman regains the title again in the summer of next year. And maybe that leads up to something with The Rock. That's what I'm going with. So I really, nothing has changed my mind on that right now. And thank you, Joe, again, for the note before about WWE not moving Jeff Hardy to the alumni section. Like I said before, I think WWE right now, lips are sealed. You know, we're not even going to take any action. We don't want to get any attention on it. You know, right now, it's a very, very delicate subject. A lot of information is still not out there. I think once this test comes out, if it ends up that he was clean, no drugs, no alcohol, it's going to be really interesting to see how WWE handles it beyond that point. Do I think WWE is going to try to get him to go back? I don't think so. But I will tell you this, props to Sean Ross Sapp, who, you know, he even said it earlier. It's ridiculous to even think that this was a possibility. But everyone is saying, everyone that matters is saying that Jeff Hardy did not do this to get out of his contract. You know, I want to wait for Jeff Hardy to make the statement himself. But I really got to appreciate what Matt Hardy did tonight. Matt Hardy was not looking for a news story. Matt Hardy was not trying to make this about himself. Matt Hardy put enough out there to rest a lot of Jeff Hardy fans' minds that, look, everybody, don't worry about it. You know, Jeff just needs a break. He, you know, creatively, spiritually, he needs a break. And he got into details about Jeff's battles from many years ago to as recent as 2019. And Matt Hardy said, look, I'm telling you all, Jeff is in a good place right now. It doesn't sound like they're trying to cover up any, you know, relapses or anything like that. What's starting to develop is what you and I thought it was in on Thursday. Because we preferred to try to look at it like human beings. and not by, you know, what we could get out of it in the statistics department. I will always be real with topics like that on this show, whether it's addiction, vices, criminal, non-criminal relationships, struggles. You know, we all may not have gone through what Jeff Hardy has gone through, but most of us know somebody who has. And as that gentleman, Lascelles, said earlier, his father is going through the very same thing that Jeff Hardy is going through right now. And just that struggle and frustration and temptation, the emotional, what it wanes on you. You know, I happened to watch, you know, it's a bad comparison, but I happened to watch New Jack City the other day for the 955th time. And you remember Pookie? Remember Chris Rock, Pookie? And, you know, he was on the sauce for a while, and he resisted, and they kept showing the segments where he just was little by little giving in to temptation. Now, that's obviously an exaggeration, and crack is no joke, believe me. I was very, very young when crack came out, but some of the wild shit that was going on in New York over here, insane, the crack epidemic in the 80s. But I'm not saying that Jeff Hardy did crack, but the point is that when you are struggling with physical pain, mental pain, being on the road, being at your age, trying to do what you did 15 years ago, trying not to let the fans down, and in the meantime, you're in all this physical and mental pain, and not to be able to even enjoy something in moderation that legally we're all allowed to do. You know, I mean, it gets to a point where all of us, you get a meltdown, you break down. You know, there's a couple of times in my life where I had pretty much a nervous breakdown. The last time was the week that I had to put my dog down. You know, it happens for different reasons, but I'll leave you with this. Like I said at the very beginning of the show, just because he's smiling doesn't mean he's lying. Jeff Hardy, it got to a boiling point. He had a meltdown. You know, it's wrong to summarize it that easy, but he's home with family. So when his wife says, listen, everybody, Jeff's good, we're good. When Matt Hardy says, Jeff's good, we're good. This is not a family of alcoholics and druggies that all say, no, we're good. Yeah, we're good. No, everyone, don't worry, we're good. Now, these are people that, you know, have grown up and overcame a hell of a lot. And I trust what they're saying 10 times more than I trust a blogger or a website or a podcaster. You know, if you try to relate to this in real life, it's very much easier to understand and identify. And again, sad to see so many people that ended up being so wrong about this situation. But you know deep down inside they did not care, because at the end of the day, they got so many hits, likes, and views with it, depending if they're just an everyday person or somebody doing shows, that's what it was about. Getting all the attention on them, and then little by little manipulating this, twisting this, changing this. We update here, update there, update there. And in the meantime, you don't realize that since day one, they didn't have to be wrong, but they chose to be wrong. So, all right, everybody, I'm going to jet out of here. So, mixed partial farts. I've praised that screen name before. I'm putting it too softly. Everyone's not mentally all there. And I agree with you. Not everybody is all there. Look, I'm not trying to belittle this man after he's gone, but I brought this up before he passed. Axel Rotten, we were friends with. Not close, but we were friends with. And we had him on the Mass Maniac show numerous times, and a lot of you know this already. And at least three different shows, he had a big announcement to let everyone know that he is now clean. And the first time we heard it, we were so happy for him. The second time we heard it with a little slurred speech, we were like, oh, we hope it's true. The third time we realized that he was trying to publicly say this, because once you publicly put it out there, now you're forced to back it up. And I think Axel Rotten truly, truly was not trying to bullshit anybody, but I think he needed to put that pressure on himself to tell everyone, look, everybody, as of now, I'm clean. And then that pressure that, okay, I put that out there, now I got to live up to it. And unfortunately, it didn't. He was a really, really nice man. Crazy motherfucker, but really a nice man. And not everybody, you know, is genuine. But in this case, not because we like Jeff Hardy, you could feel it. You could feel it. Your gut instinct tells you. Thursday night, we're not experts here, everyone. We're not experts. When we talked about how it almost seemed symbolic and everything that we said, how is it that 99.99% of everything that we felt and thought it was appears to be it? Why did you all get it so spot on? Because you chose to look at it as a real person and not in any other way, with no nefarious reason. So, yes, rest in peace, Axel Rotten. He was a good guy, man. Good guy. Balls Mahoney, too. Balls Mahoney, another one. So, all right, everybody. I got to get myself some sleep. I got to run some Codex. I got to get up a little extra early to take the missus, soon-to-be missus, home tomorrow. And then, remember, no show Wednesday, because I will be getting blood work, and I will be camping out at a hotel Wednesday night, because Thursday is my heart procedure. And I will definitely post something on the community section here and on social media Thursday to update everyone if everything was good. If everything's clear and I could go home Thursday night, then Thursday afternoon, then I will be here Thursday night. I'll let you know what happened, even if I come on for a few minutes. If there's any complications, you know, trust me, I will have plenty of time to let everybody know, and we'll see what happens. So thank you, everyone, for the well wishes. Thank you, as always, for the support. And thank you for spending part of your Monday night with yours truly and everybody here. So don't forget the contest. 5 CM Punk cards will be up for grabs. The AJ Lee, AJ Mendez, AJ Brooks, however you call her, her photo will be up for grabs as well. Those contests, I will pick the winners live next Monday. And you know the program we use. It is transparent. So there's no way for us to, you know, put favors on anyone. But I hope you all have a great week. Enjoy AEW Wednesday. I do believe Hangman Page will retain. I do believe that there might be a little bit of bullshit happen from it. But let's see where it goes from here. So, everyone, take care. Have a good night.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody. while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.